faith, spiritual values, moral issues, government, economy, education, work, responsibility. What we think about these depends on our worldview. Now, VCY America presents Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House.
Welcome, glad you are with us. I want to talk to you today about the Jesuits. The Jesuits. Now, our alumni know that I did several radio shows and TV shows many years ago. I did 4 one-hour shows on the Jesuits. But it's been so long, I think it's time to have a quick review for everybody, including myself, because, again, we're adding a lot of new people. So maybe it's a great time to tweet, text, email, Facebook, call folks, tell them, hey, House is about to talk about the Jesuits and explain the role of the Jesuits. Now, before people say, oh, there he goes again, he's going to start bashing Catholics. Well, that's, again, that's the narrative that the left want to put onto me whenever I expose the left. But that's interesting. How could it be, thank you, Logan, how could it be bashing the Catholics when I'm about to play for you Vigano, Archbishop Vigano, also warning about the Jesuits? So remember, what they like to do is say, oh, House, he likes to bash the Catholics. Well, that's the left trying to make me out to look like I'm some kind of intolerant hater or something, that I'm not for freedom of religion. I mean, I'm not Catholic, and I don't agree with Catholic theology, but if that's their choice. But what I'm warning about is what Catholic Archbishop Vigano is warning about. So this is what Malachi Martin, a former Jesuit himself, warned about. So again, before people start thinking this is just a bunch of anti-Catholic programming, no. We have Catholic Archbishop Vigano warning about this. We had former Jesuit Malachi Martin warning about the Jesuits. Now, if you want to understand what's happening, you really do have to understand the Jesuits, just as you have to understand Freemasonry, the Jesuits, Islam, Marxism, the New Age movement. And by the way, don't forget, one of the leading founders of New Age thought was a Jesuit, Teilhard de Chardin. Teilhard de Chardin is known as the father of the New Age movement. And as you're going to learn today and tomorrow, the Jesuits are very influential. Time Magazine Time Magazine did a whole cover piece on the Jesuits because that's how influential the Jesuits are. Now, there used to be a time when people talked about this and understood this. Sadly, we're getting away from a time where people read and think. They don't do that quite as much as they used to, do they? But this used to be known. But remember, again, the goal of the Jesuits is really a counter-reformation. It's not only a counter-reformation, meaning to turn everybody back to Rome, but it is to destroy traditional Catholicism. This is why Archbishop Vigano has such a hard time with them. It was also the Jesuits that were largely behind the Vatican Council II. The Vatican Council II that was opened, I think that council was opened somewhere between 1962 and 1965. And I'll get into the Vatican Council II. I have clips here by Archbishop Vigano bemoaning the Vatican Council II. And I'll explain to you why a more traditional Catholic Archbishop like Vigano is opposed to the Vatican Council II, why he's opposed to Freemasonry, and why he's opposed to the Jesuits. So please understand, I'm not the only one warning about this. I just happen to be one of the few people in the Protestant world warning about this. Many of those that have and do warn about it are actually in the Catholic world, as I've mentioned two of them today, current Archbishop Vigano and former Jesuit himself, Malachi Martin, who has passed away in, I think, 1999. Watch this and listen to this quick clip by Vigano, just as a quick reminder that indeed he is warning about the Jesuits. This is just one of many clips I could play, as you guys know. Watch this.
The persecution we are witnessing today is no different from that of decades past. But now it has been extended to the masses. While previously it focuses on individuals and the ruling class. This applied to both, to civil and ecclesiastical world, confirming the pactum celeri, the criminal conspiracy between the deep state and the deep church. It seems to me that in this conspiracy, the role of the Jesuit has been decisive. It is no coincidence that for the first time in history, a religious of the Society of Jesus is seated on the throne of Peter.
All right, again, this is where I'm going to disagree with him on that point related to the throne of Peter. If you go to the scripture, Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. When speaking to Peter, he used the word Petros, which would be little stone. And then he said, upon this rock I'll build my church, Petra. Christ is the foundation. Christ is the rock upon which the church is built, not Peter. So again, we disagree. And to my Catholic friends, don't send me books and stuff on this. You're not going to convince me otherwise, because I went to the book that I need to go to on that one, and that's the Bible in the original language. So I agree with everything he said up to that point, but again, that's what makes him a Catholic, and that is why I am not called a Catholic. I am a Bible-believing conservative dispensationalist. Now, with that being said, he is absolutely right. The deep church and the deep state. The deep church is, and he says the Jesuits are heavily involved in that. And then you have the deep state, and they're working together. Very, very astute, because that's exactly what's happening. You have the Jesuits penetrating not only the Vatican, but you have the Jesuits also penetrating the Protestant world for this deep church. You also have the deep state penetrating, I believe, Catholicism, and the deep state, the intelligence arena, penetrating the Protestant churches. That's why my book, Marxianity, is subtitled. I don't know if I even have a copy here. I don't have a copy on the desk, but it's subtitled related to the deep state. The deep state. I have the word deep state in the title, because I do believe the intelligence arenas, along with the Jesuits, are indeed penetrating both the Catholic world and the Protestant world, because they understand the need to take religion for their globalism. And so I could play more clips by Archbishop Vigano on the Jesuits, and maybe tomorrow I will. But for now, that's enough to set this up for you to understand that we have a current Catholic bishop warning about the Jesuits. Okay, now let's go to our screen. Give me a thumbs up in there, Logan, if we got this on TV, for those of you watching by television. All right, so we got a thumbs up by Logan in the control room for those watching by television. And those listening on the VCY America Radio Network, we'll endeavor to play this, actually. We can endeavor to play this on TV 30 in Milwaukee next week. Again, it's been several years since I've done this, and it's time for a quick review based on all this happening. Notice again that Archbishop Vigano said that, isn't this interesting that all this is happening with the deep state and the deep church at a time you have the first Jesuit ever as the Pope? The first ever Jesuit Pope, Pope Francis. All right, so let's get into the Jesuits, and then we'll take some of your phone calls. Here is Ignatius of Loyola. He lived from 1491 and died in July of 1556. Ignatius of Loyola. Now, he is really the one that kicked the Jesuits into high gear, okay? Here is an article cover from Time Magazine dated April 23rd, 1973, all right? April 23rd, 1973, the Jesuits, Catholicism's troubled front line. And it has a picture of the Superior General, or what would be known also as often called the Black Pope. The Black Pope, due to his black robe that you see him wearing there, versus the Pope, who wears white robes. So there is known often as the Black Pope. And many believe that it is the Jesuits and the Jesuit general, the Black Pope, who really is the power. And many Catholics believe, at the highest of levels, that the Jesuits have been involved in murdering sitting popes. They're powerful enough and have murdered sitting popes. We won't get into all that today, but this is often known, even among Catholics and high-ranking Catholics. They know the power of the Jesuits, and many of them have warned, as we've already said. But Time Magazine at one time did a whole piece on the Jesuits back in 1973, front cover. Here's what they wrote. apart from their shared religious identity and their common appendage, SJ, for the Society of Jesus. So when you see someone, by the way, have SJ, S.J, behind their name, that means they're Society of Jesus. They're Jesuit. They are bewilderingly diverse fraternity. They are seismologists, swamis, architects, and engineers, theologians, and winemakers, politicians, lawyers, social workers, astronomers, evolutionaries, economists, as well as missionaries, teachers, and parish priests, end quote. Now, this is Time Magazine, 1973. Most people, when they would think of the Jesuits, they would automatically think a Jesuit is a Catholic priest, right? But what did Time Magazine just say to you? They are a diverse group. They're a diverse fraternity. Seismologists, swamis. Now, I'm guessing what they mean there is like a Hindu swami. And you would say, wait a minute, why would a Catholic Jesuit become a swami? Because the Jesuits will penetrate any religion they need to turn that religion back to Rome, and particularly to the Jesuit order, which in itself has worked to transform Rome. This is why you have the criticism by the Jesuit, former Jesuit, Malachi Martin. This is why you have the criticism of Catholic Archbishop Vigano. This is why you have many traditional Catholics very upset about the last several popes, to the point they don't even see them as real popes. They believe the Vatican has been hijacked by the Jesuits and the globalists. And it's true. And that's why in another video I'll play, Archbishop Vigano's warning that the Vatican Council II did great damage. Well, who was behind the Vatican Council II? The Jesuits. What was the whole purpose of the Vatican Council II? To lower the walls of the... Logan, can you come take this for me, please? To lower the walls of the church so that the groups could come together and then be influenced by the Jesuits. In other words, the Jesuits wanted, through the Vatican Council II, to bring down the walls of the Catholic Church where they originally, traditionally, were... you can call him back, ask what he wants. When they were traditionally had high walls in the Church of Rome, they had these high walls, and there wasn't a lot of encouragement by the Vatican or your local Catholic parish to go into other religious groups and participate with them or have interfaith dialogue with them or to try to find spiritual, theological common ground with them. There was a very high wall of separation, and the Catholic Church wanted it that way. Well, then the Vatican Council II comes along by the Jesuits, and they lower that wall, and they basically invite people in, and they also say send their people into the other religions. Well, this is because ultimately the Jesuits, just as they're willing to become swamis, as Time Magazine said in 1973, they're trying to penetrate the major religions of the world so that they can turn them back to... That's why my friend the late Ron Carlson used to say, Americans that don't travel abroad think that the Catholic Church in America is like that all over the world. No, go to India and it'll have a Indian Hindu flavor. Go to Cuba, it's got a communist flavor, right? Don't go away, we'll be right back. All right, welcome back. Glad you're with us. Worldview Radio, our website, worldviewradio.com, worldviewradio.com. Quite the two-hour show last night. I had on with me, at 7 o'clock Central Time, I had on with me, I got to look at my notes, it's all a blur. Who'd I have on? I had on Pastor Art Pawlowski. Pastor Art Pawlowski, he has been sentenced, and he is refusing to comply with the sentence of the political hack judge. He will not, they want him to, every time he speaks to the public on interview or at his church, they want him to recite some paragraph about COVID and science and blah, blah, blah. And he basically told the judge right outside the court on a microphone after he was sentenced, go pound sand. And I'm not going to say that. You're not going to control me. And then they want him to do so many hours of community service, I think pay $23,000 fine. He told us last night he will not say what they want him to say. He will not pay the fine. He will not do that community service. And he's appealing it. And he says this, he came from Poland under communism, and he's saying this is pure communism. And the state trying to control my freedom of religion, my freedom of speech. So he was on last night at 7 o'clock. 7:30, I had on Kathy and Stuart Scheller, their son, Lieutenant Colonel Stuart Scheller himself. He was the one they threw in the brig for making the video about questioning what was going on with leadership in the military regarding the withdrawal of Afghanistan. He has been sentenced. The parents were on with me last night about that. And then I had on with me former Pfizer employee Karen Kingston to talk about the luciferase and the glowing vials from the Pfizer employee the night before I had on. Then she went into a patent related to mRNA vaccines and showed that in the patent they can use a cell line that comes from the 1950s, and a woman that died of a very, very aggressive form of cancer, cervical cancer, and that these stem cells are known as HeLa stem cells. That's an abbreviation for the lady's first name and last name. And she shows in the patent, we showed on the screen, where the mRNA vaccines can include this HeLa stem cell line that, again, from what she's reporting, can cause an aggressive form of cancer. Now, if you follow what we did last night for some, I don't know, almost an hour, what we're talking about here is you're likely to see a massive explosion in cancer from these vaccines. Now, that's interesting. Who predicted that in 2020? Spring of 2020 on this show multiple times. Dr. Judy Mikovits. This is in the patent. We showed it on screen last night. And we showed how the luciferase is a delivery system. Very, very, very important show. It'll be up today at WVWTV.com. I'm sure they'll put it over at frankspeech.com. We'll put it up on our site over at WVWTV.com. Leo and I are going to release an article on it. By the way, speaking of articles, I do hope you're going to worldviewtimes.com. Because Leo and I are releasing a lot of articles now. Leo has come on board and is working with us, and we are releasing articles about every day or every other day at worldviewtimes.com. I don't have time to run track down everybody's articles, and we have so much great content. I just said, look, why don't we just hire Leo to work with me, and let's just crank out these articles based on the interviews I'm doing. So if you go to worldviewtimes.com, and you say, I'd love to get this information in the hands of people, but they won't watch a full hour, Brandon. Okay, then give them a short little article and let them read this short little article. Worldviewtimes.com. You'll find those articles there. All right, let's get back to talking about the Jesuits. And I will open the phone lines today. Here is another article, another clip, I found it during the break, of Archbishop Vigano talking about the Jesuits again and the Vatican Council too. I want to play this because I want you to see that this isn't just some Protestant, Brandon House here, warning about this. You got Archbishop Vigano of the Catholic Church warning about the Jesuit Pope, the Marxists, the Freemasons, and the Vatican Council too. Watch this.
The smoke of Satan entered the church more than 60 years ago with the Council, and I would say even earlier. The evolution of Vatican II was possible because it was prepared and organized in the smallest details for decades by traitors who had infiltrated into the Roman Curia, dioceses, universities, seminaries, religious orders.
All right, so there you go. The Vatican Council. And again, that was 62, I think, to 65. So there he is. He's warning about it. Now, we'll get into more about the Vatican Council, if not today, tomorrow. But I want to go back to our PowerPoint slides here. So Time Magazine is warning that in 1973, that the Jesuits are a diverse group, and they'll penetrate, and they'll become swamis even. They'll penetrate every religion out there to turn the world to the goals of the Jesuits. And you say, well, House, what are the goals of the Jesuits? Well, I'm glad you asked, because I'm about to tell you. The article goes on to say from Time Magazine, the new Jesuit must still spend perhaps 10 years in preparation, but he may live in fraternity-style surroundings in Berkeley, in Cambridge, Massachusetts, or in Manhattan. Observe Catholic journalist John Cogley, in an accurate bit of doggerel in the Jesuit Weekly America, quote, there are Jesuits young and old across the spectrum of opinion. There are Jesuits young and old across the spectrum of opinion. Observe Catholic journalist John Cogley in an accurate bit. He said this in the Jesuit Weekly, quote, there are Jesuits left and Jesuits right, a pro and con for most any fight. So wherever you stand not alone. Every little movement has a Jebby of its own, end quote. Now, isn't that interesting? That's Time Magazine, 1973. And in the Jesuit Weekly, this man admits there are Jesuits left and right, a pro and con for most any fight. Now, why would they do that? That, my friends, is the Hegelian dialectic process. Now, the new listeners, please don't let your eyes roll back in your head. You can understand this. You can keep up. You're smart. It's a fancy word, Hegelian dialectic process. Our alumni know it, but our alumni know that we have to stop and explain things for the new folks because we want to bring you along. We don't want you to turn us off. We don't want you to think, oh, this is too big of words, or I got to check out here now. No, you can do this. So you're going to have a Jesuit, and the Jesuit Weekly admits you're going to have a Jesuit on every side of every issue. That is the Hegelian dialectic that comes from the German philosopher George Hegel. And the idea is a thesis and antithesis, or idea, opposite idea. And you put a Jebby or a Jesuit on every side. One might be for free market capitalism, the other for socialism. One might be for pro-life, the other might, or say, let's say, same-sex marriage. Another might be fighting against same-sex marriage. Now, that doesn't mean that the person that's on the conservative side isn't legit. They could be, but you don't really know. That's kind of the way it works. You really got to watch them and say, are they really just setting up the dialectic, the conflict, or are they really a conservative? And that's what you have to watch and figure out. Remember what Saul Alinsky said, the change comes from the conflict. The change comes from the conflict. Now, do you guys remember one of the disciples of Saul Alinsky was a Jesuit priest, Gregory Galuzzo. I'm doing all this top of my head here now. Gregory Galuzzo. Gregory Galuzzo was a Jesuit priest in Chicago. Did you hear what I just said? Gregory Galuzzo was a Jesuit priest in Chicago. Do you know who he mentored in the Saul Alinsky model? So here's a Jesuit picking up the Saul Alinsky idea. The change comes from the conflict. Well, of course, the Jesuit would believe that, like Saul Alinsky did. That's what the Jebbies are about. They're on the right and the left, the Hegelian dialectic. The change comes from the conflict. Because when you get conflict going, people will say, well, we all got to get along. We don't want to fight. We need to have unity. Well, you need to be open-minded. You don't want to be intolerant bigot, do you? And so people are bullied and peer pressured and insulted into compromise. So the ball moves down the field to the left. And how have they done this in the Protestant world, in the Catholic world? And it's all over the place, right? In the political world, in the media world. Constant conflict, but do you ever see it moving to the right? No, it always moves to the left. So they stir up that dissatisfaction. They stir up that conflict. They humiliate people. They slander people. They characterize, demonize people until they think, well, I can stop all of this bullying and name-calling and smear tactics if I just give them a little bit of what they want and compromise. Well, as soon as you do, the process starts all over again. There'll be peace for a little while until the next issue comes up, and then the conflict starts all over again with a new thesis. And when you mix socialism with capitalism, it ceases to be capitalism. When you mix Christianity with Marxism, it ceases to be Christianity, right? But isn't it interesting that the Jesuit, Gregory Galuzzo, discipled in Saul Alinsky's community organizing a young man by the name of, wait for it, Barack Hussein Obama. Who put Barack Obama where he was? Largely a Jesuit. Now, you say, that's conspiracy. No. Chicago Mag, and I've shown the screenshot and the article many times over the years, had an article about Gregory Galuzzo. And how Gregory Galuzzo helped to bring about the community organization of a young Barack Hussein Obama, who, by the way, went to work in a Catholic church in Chicago in their social justice department. Well, who created the concept of social justice? Not exclusively, but who helped to really advance the concept of social justice and even the name? A Jesuit by the name of Luigi Tappernelli, 1840. 8 years before Karl Marx and the Karl Marx Communist Manifesto. So ironically, the Jesuits were at this long before Saul Alinsky. Saul Alinsky just picked up the stuff and wrote a book about it, Rules for Radicals. And Jesuit Gregory Galuzzo mentors a young Barack Hussein Obama who's working in the basement of the social justice division of one of the Catholic churches. So the article in the Chicago Magazine actually says that Barack Obama threw his arm around Greg Galuzzo and gave him credit for winning the primary in Iowa. Gave him credit for winning the primary in Iowa and defeating Hillary Clinton. So who helped put Barack Hussein Obama where he was? Largely the Jesuits, or at least a Jesuit helped him do that. So this is why the article in Time Magazine in 73 says you got a Jesuit on every side of the issue. Because that's how you create the conflict. And as Solinsky said, the change comes from the conflict. We also have a book written by Malachi Martin called The Jesuits. He's the former Jesuit himself who got disgusted by what he saw and he left. And he moved to New York and started writing books. And in his New York Times bestseller, the book The Jesuits, he said that the Hegelian dialectic is one of the foundational keys to the Jesuits. This is exactly what Time Magazine admitted in 73. A Jebby on every side to create conflict. And as Solinsky said, the change comes from the conflict. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back. Glad you're with this Worldview Radio. Our website, worldviewradio.com, worldviewradio.com. Now, before I continue here, let me take you guys over somewhere real quick and show you something. Hang on here. All right. For those of you watching by television, look at this. This is worldviewtimes.com. Worldviewtimes.com. Look at all those articles. Trevor Loudon, manufactured economic collapse could trigger final stage of Marxist revolution followed by gun confiscation. Okay? That's a new article by Leo Holman and myself at worldviewtimes.com. Here's another one. Renowned COVID doctor, vaccinated are super Delta carriers spreading sickness to the unvaccinated. Article by Leo Holman and myself, quoting and revealing the information provided to us in an interview I did with Dr. Peter McCullough, a cardiologist and an internist. Here's another article. What's causing Pfizer's vaccine vials to glow? Whistleblower says it's most likely luciferase. Another one. Australians could face $50,000 fine or COVID confinement camp if they don't check in with Orwellian phone app. Here's another one. Sidney Powell reveals U.S. government patents enabling election fraud. Your votes have been stolen with computer algorithms since 2020. All of these articles here are by Leo Holman and myself, okay? And we're writing more and we'll release more today. Let me also just remind you guys again about our Situation Room at situationroom.net. At situationroom.net, you'll find all my radio shows, all my TV shows, and everything I've been doing for decades. Thousands and thousands of radio shows of mine, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of TV shows. We may even be in the thousands of those now. Ebooks, audiobooks, documentaries. They're in my VIP club at situationroom.net. So if you'd like to join that, you can do that at situationroom.net for a monthly fee, yearly fee, two-year fee, or three-year fee. But all my research is archived right there at situationroom.net. A powerful search engine. I mean, if you go over there and type in the word Jesuits, you're going to pull up every radio show I've ever done, every TV show I've ever done. Go over there, type in Marxism, type in whatever you want. You'll be shocked at all the transcripts and the very powerful search engine and data in our VIP club at situationroom.net. Now, let's go back to the slides as we're talking about the Jesuits. And I'm redoing a series that I did many years ago, and I'm redoing it now because we have so many new people, and we need to have a rehearsal, and we have our first Jesuit pope. And we have Archbishop Vigano coming out last month warning about the Jesuits, the Vatican, Freemasonry, and Marxism and globalism. So we need to understand the Jesuits. Now, we've quoted Time magazine from April of 1973, Time magazine. Now let's go to Fox's Book of Martyrs. I don't know how many of you are familiar with Fox's Book of Martyrs, but it's an excellent little book. Been around for a long, 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 long time. Here's what we read in Fox's Book of Martyrs as they describe the Jesuits. Quote, the Emperor Ferdinand, whose hatred of the Bohemian Protestants was without bounds, not thinking he had sufficiently oppressed them, instituted a high court to prosecute the reformers upon the plan of the Inquisition. Now, what's the Inquisition? The Inquisition is when the Jesuits really started going after the Protestant world. The Jesuits really started going after the Protestant world and killing them and torturing them in ways that are beyond imaginable. One of the goals of the Jesuits in the torturing and killing was to make sure that people lived long enough to be tortured. This is how evil and vile the Jesuits are. And again, this comes from former Jesuits like Malachi Martin and Archbishop Catholic Vigano. They know how evil these guys are. So instituted a court to prosecute the reformers, which would be the Protestants, upon the plan of the Inquisition. With this difference, that the court was to travel from place to place and always to be attended by a body of troops. This court was conducted chiefly by Jesuits, and from their decision, there was no appeal, by which it may be easily conjectured that it was a dreadful tribunal indeed. End quote. Now, this is Fox's Book of Martyrs. Many, 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 many historical Christian leaders have promoted, they have distributed, they have sold Fox's Book of Martyrs. Okay? So if you doubt the mainstream nature of this book or its historical value, then you need to go look up Fox's Book of Martyrs. So now I have quoted for you Archbishop Vigano on the Jesuits. I have quoted for you former Jesuit Malachi Martin. I have quoted for you April 23rd, 1973, Time Magazine. And now I'm quoting for you from the historical book known as Fox's Book of Martyrs, all describing what the Jesuits are about. Well, the Fox's Book of Martyrs goes on to say, "This bloody court, attended by a body of troops, made the tour of Bohemia. They seldom examined or saw a prisoner, for the soldiers were permitted to murder the Protestants as they pleased and then to make a report of the matter to them afterward." Now, let's go to the issue of the ceremony of the Jesuits, the ceremony of induction and extreme oath of the Jesuits. This is the Jesuit oath. Quote, "I, therefore, to the utmost of my power, I shall and will defend this doctrine of His Holiness, right and custom, against all usurpers of the heretical or Protestant authority." Now, let me just stop right there and make a point. Yes, the Jesuits went after the Protestant world because they wanted to turn everybody back to Rome. But at the same time, the Jesuits were destroying the traditional Catholic church and doctrine. It was the Vatican Council II that helped to do this and to further this concept or idea of the Pope being perfect, the Pope being, you know, basically the vicar of Christ on earth, the Pope being unblemished and perfect and absolute. So I want to make it very clear again, while we're describing the Jesuits and their war on the Protestants, and particularly the Reformers, and lest we forget what the Reformers were, most of your Reformers in the Protestant world were former Catholics. Most of your Reformers were former Catholics. And the Jesuits were going hard against the Reformers and the Reformation and those who had turned away from Catholic doctrine. But they were not only waging a war, and to this day, they not only wage a war, the Jesuits, against Protestants and Protestant doctrine, biblical doctrine, evangelical, Protestant, Bible-believing, conservative institutions and educational centers, but they are destroying the traditional Catholicism that many Catholics are not sitting idly by and allowing. They are angry. They are speaking up. They are speaking out. Many of them write books and websites and pamphlets and podcasts and radio shows, just as Archbishop Vigano's done with his videos, just as Malachi Martin wrote his books. So I want to make it very clear. The Jesuits go in and try to turn every religion back to their idea of a global religion based on the main tenets of the Jesuits, which ironically fit perfectly with the idea of a new world order. Now, I promise you, I'm going to tell you what are the main goals of the Jesuits, and then you will see why it fits so well with globalism. But the Jesuit oath, let's continue. "I therefore, to the utmost of my power, I shall and will defend the doctrine of His Holiness, right and custom, against all usurpers of the heretical or Protestant authority. I do further declare that the doctrine of the churches of England and Scotland, of the Calvinists, the Huguenots, and others of the name Protestants or liberals, to be damnable, and they themselves damned who will not forsake the same. I do further declare that I will assist and advise all or any of His Holiness agents in any place, wherever I shall be, in Switzerland, Germany, Holland, Denmark, Sweden, Norway, England, Ireland, or America, or in any other kingdom or territory, I shall come to and do the utmost to extirpate the heretical Protestants or liberals' doctrines and to destroy all their pretended powers, regal or otherwise. I furthermore promise and declare that I will, when opportunity present, make and wage relentless war secretly or openly," notice that, secretly or openly, "against all heretics." Now, who would be a heretic? Anyone that did not agree with the Jesuit theology. "Protestants and liberals, as I am directed to do, to extirpate and exterminate them from the face of the whole earth, and that I will spare neither age, sex, or condition, and that I will hang, waste, boil, flay, strangle, and bury alive these infamous heretics, rip up the stomachs and wombs of their women, and crush their infants' heads against the walls in order to annihilate forever their execrable race. That when the same cannot be done openly, listen now, it can't be done openly, I will secretly use the poison cup. This is why, again, many blame the Jesuits for killing a few sitting popes, or at least one I know of. The strangulating cord, the steel or the Bernard, or the leaden bullet, regardless of honor, rank, dignity, or authority of the person or persons, wherever may be their whatever may be their condition in life, either public or private, as I at any time may be directed to do so by any agent of the Pope or superior, listen now, superior of the Brotherhood of the Holy Faith of the Society of Jesus. So again, the traditional researchers behind this will tell you this is one reason why many people, including a sitting Pope, would be afraid of these people. Because if they get in the way, they're gone. Because at the end of the day, they're going to take it either from the Pope or superior the Brotherhood of the Holy Faith of the Society of Jesus, which is why many believe there have been times when the Pope himself, a Pope, has been moved out of the way. I watched the movie/documentary, or whatever you want to call it, The Two Popes, because I wanted to find out how was Pope, or Bergoglio, who became Pope Francis, how was he, praised in the propaganda to make him, this great guy. And indeed, that's what the movie, The Two Popes did. They really tried to make him look, like this wonderful person. But Pope Benedict reportedly says, I don't know how accurate it is, but Pope Benedict, knowing that Bergoglio is a Jesuit, Pope Benedict in the film says, it's been said that the Jesuits even killed a sitting Pope. So that even made it into the film, The Two Popes. So people will say, well, this Jesuit Pope, or this Jesuit oath, that's fake. That's fake. No, they want you to believe it's fake. But we have, and I did a lot of research on this at the time, we have every reason to believe this is literally a legitimate Jesuit oath. At least it was at one time. It continues, in confirmation of which I hereby dedicate my life, my soul, and all my corporal powers, and with this dagger which I now receive, I will subscribe my name written in my own blood in testimony thereof, and should I prove false or weaken in my determination, may my brethren and fellow soldiers of the militia of the Pope cut off my hands and my feet and my throat from ear to ear, my belly opened and sulfur burned therein, with all the punishment that can be inflicted upon me on earth, and my soul to be tortured by demons in eternal hell forever. All right. So again, we're learning about the Jesuits. Why? Well, for many reasons, but one, because Archbishop Vigano in September of this year releases a 90-minute speech video, and he warns about the Jesuits over and over, and their role behind the Vatican II and the destruction of the church, refers to it even as the smoke of Satan. 1-800-347-9829, 1-800-347-9829. Your thoughts, your comments, your questions, 1-800-347-9829. All right, welcome back. 1-800-347-9829, 1-800-347-9829. Let's go to the phone lines again, 1-800-347-9829. We can pick this up tomorrow of part two on the Jesuits, reviewing some stuff we've taught years ago, but bringing it front and center again because of all this happening in the world and the recent denouncement of the Vatican Council II and the warning of the Jesuits and the Freemasons by Archbishop Vigano. Let's go to my friend Dick in Maryland. Dick, thanks for calling in today.
Yeah, Brandon. Listen, I'm 8 years of education with the Jesuits, so I think I pretty much understand them, and I thank you for highlighting this. Look at the countries in Central and South America. Many of them are communist countries, and the Jesuits are very, very prominent in missionaries and active in social justice of many of those countries. Another quick update is that you have universities all over the world, including at Georgetown. Georgetown has a very big impact on the State Department. It trains Foreign Service people. One of its branches, one of the Jesuit Georgetown branches, is in Qatar, in the town of Doha, and they teach foreign service people in that Georgetown location. The 100% of the Georgetown campus in Doha, which is the home of the Muslim Brotherhood, is paid by the government of Qatar.
Isn't that interesting? And while you're still here on the line, take a look at this screenshot here, Logan. Show him this, please. He mentioned Georgetown. This is the Georgetown University seal, which is a Jesuit university. Notice what you have here. You have the cross in the one talent of the eagle and the world in the other talent. And then I think that is Latin up there. And what I'm told it means is both into one. It bears the founding date, 1789, and the university motto, both into one, which would also could be translated of the two, one. So what they're doing is they're taking the Jesuit religious system and merging it with that of the world with their motto of the two, one, or both into one. So it is a religious globalism. And as we'll see tomorrow, a big part of the Jesuits, as Dick is laying out here, is social justice, which is socialism, which is the economic philosophy of Marx. And all we got to do, right, Dick, is look at Pope Francis and what he was doing in South America, right? Or Jesuit... his name starts with a G, I think it was, Jesuit Carney, who went down there and he ended up dying. I think he got himself killed fighting with the Marxist revolutionaries, but he was a massive Marxist. I mean, a massive Marxist, Jesuit Carney.
So, we talk about the red-green axis, and you and Leo do a great job on that. Let me just mention one quick thing. At the university, at Georgetown, there is a massive school of Islamic studies. And we know for a fact that a Saudi prince gave Georgetown $25 million to set that up. One of the leading proponents of Islam in America is John Esposito. He heads that department. He was all over the place with Barack Obama pushing Chrislam, which is what you talk about in your book. So the Jesuits are a very, very big part of the Red-Green Axis.
And Dick, you said you came through how many years of training with the Jesuits?
Well, I was four years in high school, 4 years in college. And their university, their education programs are all over the world. They have major universities all over the world, in India and Canada, all over the world. And many of the universities in America people don't know are Jesuits, like Detroit is a Jesuit university, Creighton, Boston College, et cetera. And Georgetown, they tend to name them after locations, not necessarily disclosing that they're actually a Jesuit university. But they're very powerful. You mentioned the people that are doctors and lawyers. They educate people brilliantly, the great educators, but those people take that all of that philosophy and theology out into the world they live. So social justice is a part of those lawyers and those people that go into law enforcement after going through Jesuit training.
And then the interfaith dialogue, which was so heavily propagated through the Jesuits bringing us the Vatican Council II that Archbishop Vigano is warning about.
Exactly. So one world religion... You could just simply say Pope Francis, and that just sums it up. But in detail, the army that the Jesuits create around the world, and these are leadership. They train leaders. That's what they do. They train leaders. Tremendous education, but unfortunately, part of what you get in these 8 years of theology and philosophy is social justice, and you're quite good at it. Good enough to be hired by the federal government and the State Department, etc. So they are extremely effective. And sadly, they're very, very dangerous.
Mm. Thank you, Dick, as always, for calling in. Great call. See, that's a perfect example where callers add an awful lot to a show. Perfect example. Thank you, Dick. Let's go to Levi, line two in South Dakota. Levi, thank you for calling in, Levi.
Thanks a lot, Brandon, for having me on. I was just listening to him, and I was thinking that these Jesuits are basically building the foundation for the new Babylon all over the world. They're just preparing for that new city. And I was listening to Chris Pinto's documentary on the Jesuits, and he was saying that how many of the founding fathers of our country warned about the Society of Jesus and how dangerous it was. And I wish that spirit was still here. I feel like if you understand the Jesuits, you understand a lot about what's going on in this country.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Levi, which is why we're doing this show. And you're right when you quote Chris Pinto warning that many of our founding fathers in the colonies, you could not be a Jesuit, folks. Go look it up. I have the screenshot from the historical website, the website of the Historical Society in Massachusetts. You could not be a Jesuit and enter into the Massachusetts colony. You could not be a Jesuit and enter into the Massachusetts colony. They did. They said, look out. No way. He's right. I'll show you that. Let's go to Damon in Kansas. Damon, thanks for calling in, Damon.
Hi. Thank you.
Go right ahead.
The oath you read earlier, isn't it a lot similar to the Shriner Oath?
Yes. I'm glad you brought that up, and I wondered if anyone was going to bring that up. Notice again, you know, the spilling out of your stomach and your bowels and the cutting of your throat. Those are so similar exactly to the oath that we've heard the late Ron Carlson in April, spring of 2010, say from the platform of our Ozarks Worldview Weekend as he explained that oath. Absolutely. See, we're dealing with secret societies now. We're dealing with secret societies, paganism, blood oaths, right? And a war against traditional Christianity or traditional orthodoxy, right? So I'm so glad. I wondered if someone's going to bring that up. Great job, Damon. Mary in Wisconsin, go, Mary. We'll get you in. Go, Mary.
Yes, I wanted to add to your history. The Jesuits were infiltrated by Masonry at one point in their history. So that is a very important part of the Jesuits. They were infiltrated by Masonry.
Well, and that's exactly what Archbishop Vigano said in September. He talked about the Jesuits and the Masons. That's also what former Jesuit Malachi Martin warned about, that the Vatican would be taken down by the Freemasons and the Jesuits, and then they would bring about globalism and their war on Christianity. Take care.
This has been Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House. CDs are available by calling 1-800-729-9829. Or to hear an MP3 file of this or earlier programs, go to worldviewweekend.com. Views expressed may or may not be those of Worldview Weekend, BCY America, or this station. This program is a public affairs presentation of worldviewweekend.com and is heard weekdays on BCY America.